Well, thank you very much. And I have a few things to share, and what a great lead-in to it. What I'm going to talk about this morning is a little bit. We've said a few in the past. Decided that we're going to take a good look at Jesus and how he interacted and how he handled situations, what he said, how he lived his life. But the first thing I want to look at is some of the team he selected. He selected his disciples, his team, to go out and to spread his message. And I thought about that a few years back. Quite a few years back now. I used to coach basketball. I coached freshman boys basketball in our school. And I thought about, as I was preparing this week, of how nice it would have been if I could have picked my team. I selected the players I wanted on my team. I of course would have picked, you know, a couple tall kids. Every one of them could handle the ball well. Some would be a little better from outside shooting, some would be a little better inside. But I'd pick this team I wanted. So when the time came, when the game started, I'd have my force ready to go out there and fight and win these games. And as I was reading today's passage, the scripture of today, I got to thinking about the team Jesus picked. And more so of how the Pharisees thought that when the Messiah came, they were going to be his team. And one of the most important parts of selecting a team, one is that they love the game. But this innate desire that comes from within. And you can't pick that. You can't choose that. It's just something that happens. And that's where things gel together and work well. But the Pharisees thought they were going to be this team, and they were expecting the Messiah to come. And this is speculating a little bit, but I think they were expecting the Messiah to come and be this mighty, mighty warrior, this guy that was very courageous and could lead them into fight the Romans and get out of the Roman rule and the Roman oppression. The Romans were this mighty force that were controlling them. They had conquered many areas, and the Jewish people, the Israelites, were some of them. So I think they were looking for this very strong, powerful man to come. And Jesus came in a very different way that they weren't looking for. I remember growing up watching movies like Rambo and even Star Wars, and these movies, even today, are more, violent movies, I guess, is the polite way to put it. They always have this hero that comes through and that gets people to rally around them and lead them into defeating the bad guy, if you will. And so let's look a little bit at this team Jesus selected. I'm going to read in John. We're going to look at the first couple he selected. John 1, 35 through 51. The next day, John was there again. And this John is talking about John the Baptist. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When they saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour, which in our time is about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, Philip said. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Well, the first selection Jesus picked in his disciples was Andrew. And if you do a little study of Andrew, you'll find that Andrew is, for lack of a better term, kind of a nobody. He wasn't a great big business owner and owned lots of the town. He was really a nobody. People didn't know him. And he was actually a follower of John the Baptist. And I want to note that Andrew wasn't a great leader in that town, but a follower. But had a desire within him to know the Messiah. Wasn't somebody that you would have thought Jesus would have picked first. It's kind of like coming up in a little bit when the Browns get their draft pick. They did a really good job of securing the second round draft pick coming up. It would be like the Cleveland Browns, instead of picking some great quarterback that came through college, picking the backup quarterback at Edinburgh University. It really would. Somebody from obscurity that really wasn't on the radar. But Jesus knew what he was doing in selecting Andrew. Because it was, if you look at the very first thing Andrew did after Jesus called him. What does it say? What does your Bible say? It says he went out and he found his brother and said, I have found the Messiah. The very first thing Andrew did was evangelize, was lead someone else to Jesus. Have you ever caught that? The last thing Jesus tells us to do in the Great Commission is spread the gospel, but the very first thing his first disciple did was do the same exact thing, simply by saying, we have found the Messiah. And that's where Peter comes in. And Peter, poor Peter, has gotten a bad rap because of denying Jesus. But if we read in Acts, we can see Peter has done some pretty amazing things through the Holy Spirit by leading thousands to Jesus. But Peter was really a nobody as well in that town. And they were probably, Peter and Andrew, were probably some of the last to be, that we would have thought would have been selected by Jesus. Because if you think about it, has anybody ever went fishing before? I love to fish. Peter and Andrew were fishermen. I love to fish, but one thing I can't stand about fishing is the smell. I don't like how fish smell. I love to eat fish, but I don't like to eat real fishy fish. Okay? Well, think about it. Andrew and Peter wouldn't really have smelled that great. Why would Jesus have selected them? Because he knew what was in their hearts. He knew what was in there. He knew that they had this burning desire to share the message that we have found the Messiah. And the next day then, the Bible says Jesus decides to go to a different town, and he goes and finds Philip. Philip was also, he wasn't the mayor of that town. He wasn't some great name person that everybody knew. But did you notice what the first thing he did? What was the first thing Philip did after Jesus called him? He went and told someone else about Jesus. Went and shared it to Nathanael. Look at verse 45. Verse 45 says, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. He didn't want to keep it to himself. The first two disciples really, or Andrew and Philip really knew nothing about Jesus. They just knew that he was called the Messiah. They knew there was something about him. They knew that he was the Messiah, and that was good enough to share. That was good enough to go out and lead others to Jesus. We know a whole lot more now because of the Bible about Jesus than Andrew and Philip did in the very first moments of meeting Jesus and going and finding others and sharing about Jesus. But we still get very nervous when it comes to sharing the gospel. If we're being honest, oftentimes we panic. We don't want to say, hey, we found the Messiah. Sometimes some of us can just plain avoid the situation altogether. But we're called to share the gospel, to share the good news, to do what the disciples were commissioned to do, just like us, to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. They knew very little about Jesus, but they did know one thing. They knew without a doubt he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God, the Anointed One. And that was good enough. And we know that same thing. That should be good enough for us too. We know so much more about Jesus than they did in them first few days. Let's share that message. We are disciples as well. And that is our job, to share the message, to go to the ends of the earth. But if we're honest, it's not always an easy thing to do. So as I've studied this week, I decided I'm going to kind of take the route of the disciples, the early ones, Andrew and Philip, by sharing the gospel. And Dolores did a beautiful job of when she showed the pictures of people that haven't found Jesus yet. What did she say that we need to do? Pray for them. So what I'm going to do, what I decided to do, not really a New Year's resolution because I don't buy into all that, but what I've decided to do is to choose someone in my life, someone that I know is lost, and I'm going to specifically pray for that person every day. And I would encourage you to do the same, because there is power in prayer. And we're going to see, I'm excited to see what happens. But I'm not going to give up, because sometimes things don't go in our time frame. As I chose this person, I'm going to pray every day over and over again, even if it takes 10 years, 20 years. And I would encourage you to do the same, because it is that important. Pray that God will put someone in their life to share the gospel with, or give you opportunities to do that with that person. But every life is valuable. Every life has value. And we want to share the message that we've found the Messiah. Share the same message that Andrew and Philip did. Simply, we have found the Messiah, and he is offering everlasting life. And your life is valuable. Let's share that message. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. Father, I thank you for Dolores and her sharing with us. And God, I pray that you will give us the strength, the energy, and just the desire, the deep down drive within us to be willing to say to people, we have found the Messiah. All glory and praise be to you. In Jesus' name, amen.